Amen. You can return to your seats and quickly be seated. By way of announcements left out, they forgot this morning, but they have prepared bags of candy for the kids. Don't want them to get too excited. They can't focus on the preaching. Amen. But then very quickly, before we go any further, I've had many, many people reach out to me about Friday night. And in reality, I just spearheaded the thing. And people keep thanking me for it. The fact of the matter is, ideas don't go anywhere without hands and feet and service. Amen. And so I'm not going to mention names because I'm going to leave somebody out. And I don't even know who all was involved. But to those that cleaned and cooked and served at the gym and then cleaned up the gym, to the singers and the musicians, the people who took special time to pray that the Holy Ghost would move, thank you so much. Amen. 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 You have it in you to create first-class stuff. Amen. Why don't we stand together? Let's go into the Word of the Lord. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 14, if you have your Bibles. 2 Samuel chapter 14. And I want to obey the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm going to read quickly. I have a lengthy reading. Let's start at verse 1. 4 is up there, if possible. Now Joab the son of Zeruiah perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom, and Joab sent to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself, that's fake, feign thyself to be a mourner, and put on now mourning apparel, and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had a long time mourned for the dead. And come to the king and speak on this manner unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. And when the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and did obeisance and said, Help, O king. The king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and mine husband is dead. And thy handmaid had two sons, and they strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him. And behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid, and they said, Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him, for the life of his brother whom he slew. And we will destroy the heir also, and so they shall quench my coal which is left, and shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth. And the king said unto the woman, Go to thine house, and I will give charge concerning thee. And the woman of Tekoa said unto the king, My lord, O king, the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless. And the king said, Whosoever saith aught unto thee, bring him to me, and he shall not touch thee any more. Then said she, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldest not suffer the revengers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. And he said, As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth. Then the woman said, Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord the king. And he said, Say on. And the woman said, Wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, in that the king doth not fetch home again his banished. Now, very quickly, I'm not going to preach this story. We're going to preach a statement from this story. But what's happened is that there's been some chaos in the children of David. And a brother has done wrong against a sister. And another brother comes in and kills that brother. And then the brother has to run away from Israel. And so you have this son of David. One is dead and the other is banished in a nation. And so that's what this woman is getting at here. She said, For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person. Amen. God doesn't respect any person. Amen. Yet, everybody say yet. Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. And I want to preach from what the Lord gave me. It'll sound funny when I say it, but we're going to go somewhere, I promise. I want to preach, two can play that game. Amen. Two can play that game. Why don't we lift up our hands and pray right now that the Lord would have his way for the remainder of this service. God, I thank you. God, we need you to speak tonight in this house, Lord. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. Let the words be your words, God. Oh, Lord, touch the hearts and the minds. Let there be revelation in this place, God. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to build a foundation for the next number of minutes, and then I'm going to preach for 5 minutes, and we're going to see what the Lord will do. Amen. The first premise of this message that we need to understand, it's going to be built on a couple of premises, comes from Psalms chapter 18 and verse 25, where the psalmist says, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward," everybody say froward. "With the froward thou wilt show thyself froward." The writer says, God, if somebody's merciful, you'll be merciful to them. If somebody's upright, you're upright to them. If somebody is pure, you are pure to them. But if somebody's proud and presumptuous, God is proud and presumptuous. Amen. The fact of the matter is that at times, God reflects yourself to you. Amen. Now, that's not to say that he reflects what you've done or who you've been. Amen. He just has a way of reflecting who you are and who you're trying to be to yourself. Amen. So that's premise number one. Premise number two happened, it's a statement that I was privileged to spend a day with Brother Booker in California. At the end of the night, we're sitting in the rental car as he told me a story of how his church came to where it was. And he stopped for just a moment, and you could tell he was thinking, and he said, "God is so cool." Amen. And that statement has stuck with me ever since, from Bishop Larry Booker. God is so cool. Amen. Oh, yeah. We're going to have fun tonight. Amen. Let's start at the beginning of the book. Genesis chapter 1 covers the creation of everything that we know. Amen. Genesis chapter 2 covers the planting of Eden, the commanded dominion of man, the classification and naming of the animals, and the creation of woman. But there's some things that happen in the midst of all these, maybe before, maybe during, and maybe between chapter 2 and chapter 3, that you actually have to go to the end of the book to be able to find. For in Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth." Everybody say, "into the earth." He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So whether that happened immediately following, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and then there was war in heaven, or it happened after, "Let there be light," and the sea and the earth, I don't know. But the fact of the matter, now we have to understand this tonight. The fact of the matter is that there was a war going on between Lucifer and God before humanity was ever involved with them. Jesus would say in Luke chapter 10 verse 18, he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Amen. So although this is written in Revelation, you have to understand this is an account of something that happened even before Jesus walked on the earth. He said, "I beheld," past tense, this has already happened. Revelation chapter 12 verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea." Why is there woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea?
For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Amen. And so we preach creation all the time, but the fact of the matter is somewhere between Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 3 and 1, there is a war that erupts in the spiritual realm between God Almighty and Lucifer, who is attempting to exalt himself above the throne of God. And this is so important for you to understand. It was a war between God and Satan. Amen. Everybody say, it was a war. And it was between God. Everybody say God. And Satan. Amen. The reason you need to understand this is because Psalms chapter 8 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Now, the reason you have to understand this is because Satan has already tried to defeat God in God's territory. And he failed. Amen. Now, I don't know when this happens in the account of creation, but we know that the Bible says in Genesis 3 and 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Amen. I don't believe that Satan's, his attack on humanity really had anything to do with humanity. Why? Because God made man a little lower than the angels. And he crowned him with glory and honor. And he gave him dominion over all the works of his hand. Everything created was under the dominion of mankind. And so when Satan lost against God in heaven, he came to earth to get God's pinnacle of creation. Amen. His crowned creation, his glorified creation, to fall. I don't believe it was about humanity. I believe it was about Satan spiting God Almighty. When he couldn't defeat God and he couldn't defeat the rest of his angels, he said, you know what? I'm going to go after humanity. Amen. And so how did he do it? He said, hath God said. Everybody say, hath God said. Be careful. Anybody that comes to you asking about what God said. Amen. When doubt is being planted about things God has said, you better run the other way. Amen. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said. God said it. You shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Everybody say ye. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof. Everybody say ye. Then your eyes, everybody say your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods. Everybody say ye. Knowing good and evil. You will know good and evil. Amen. Are you starting to see a pattern here? The devil, when he realized, he said, did God really say? She said, yeah, God said. He said, okay. Then let's make this about you. Amen. You got to be careful allowing Satan to get in your mind and make you only think about yourself. Amen. Oh, Eve, you're not going to die. You're going to be like God. Your eyes will be open. Yeah, it's all about you. When humanity gets all about you, usually there's a fall coming. Amen. And so, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open. Yeah, their eyes were open. But they didn't see what they thought they were going to see. Amen. They realize shame. God, help me to preach this message tonight. Amen. They realized what it felt like to be exposed. Amen. To not be sheltered and protected. Oh, God, help us right now. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And so we know the story, and I'm trying to get there quickly. God comes walking through the garden in the cool of the day. He begins to call. They hide themselves. He finds them, and he begins to ask them the questions. And so in Genesis 3 and 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And so from Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, all the way to Revelation chapter 21 verse 1, the Bible is comprised of the motives and the means by which God would fulfill the prophecy in Genesis 3:15. It is from the third chapter of Genesis to the 21st chapter of Revelation. It is simply an account of the story of God undoing and recreating everything that Satan did and destroyed in the garden. It goes from the law of Moses to grace, Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. It goes all the way through Revelation to where finally the new heaven and the new earth are coming down. But all that's in there from 3:15 to Revelation 21:1 is simply the story of God figuring out a way to restore humanity to their original state. Brother Aaron, grab your Bible and go to Genesis 3:15 and go to Revelation 21:1, and I want you to hold what's between them up in your hand. Amen. Because I'm about to preach to some people that the devil has been telling you that God doesn't want to make a way for you, and God, you've gone too far for God to take you back. I want you see the Bible there? You see the book? All that is just an account of God saying, "This is how I'm going to get them back to where they fell from." For we must needs die, and as as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. If you feel like you're just spilt on the ground and there's no way that you can be put back together, I want you to know neither doth God respect any person. It's not about who you are, but he deviseth means to bring his banished home. Devise is the Hebrew word hasab, which means to devise or to plan. Means is mahashaba, which literally means to make a device, a plan, or a purpose. Define device in the English language is to plan or invent a complex procedure, system, or mechanism by careful thought. I want you to know that God is scheming. He's literally thinking, how can I get this person back? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost already. Amen. There's some things you must understand tonight. You must understand that the war started in heaven. It did not start between Eve and the serpent. It started between Lucifer and God. I'm telling you, it may sound simple to you, but you got to get it in your mind. This is not about humanity. Satan was fighting God long before he ever caused humanity to fall. Amen. The war is between God and Satan. Humanity was a third-party creation dragged into a cosmic, supernatural, spiritual battle. Can I just go ahead and tell you how I feel about it? I feel like Satan dragged Eve into something she was not qualified to be a part of. The Bible says that he was full of wisdom. He does not have all knowledge, but he was full of wisdom, and she was just barely created. Oh, in the name of Jesus. This is a fight between the King of Kings and the Prince of the Power of the Air. Amen. But I've already read it to you, though. Satan tries to make everything about you. Amen. Oh, yeah. You won't die. Your eyes will be open. You'll be as gods. You'll know good and evil. Amen. He uses this today. Oh, God, help me to preach right now. Amen. Oh, God, help me right now, Jesus. Amen. The Bible, and I mentioned it weeks ago or months ago while I was preaching. Paul said there are things done in this world that it's a shame to even speak of. You know, there's some knowledge in this world that God never intended for us to have. Amen. That's why he said, don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I will teach you what you need to know. Amen. And so Satan's plan for thousands of years has been to lure people in with knowledge that he knows is going to destroy them. Amen. There are some things you have no business knowing. There are some places online you have no business going. Amen. 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 But the devil wants to make it all about you. Well, you'll be like God if you know this. No, you'll be humiliated if you find out the knowledge that's out there. It's a shame. Oh, yeah. Oh, but Eve, you're going to know so many things. And so she fell. Amen. Amen. And now, every one of us here, prior to receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, being baptized in Jesus' name, you are fallen by nature. Amen. If you've received the Holy Ghost, let's just go ahead and stop right here. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the new birth plan right there. And when you are born again, you are made a new creature in Christ. And now that new creation is fighting against that old creation. Amen. That new man is fighting against that old man. Oh, God, help us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You're fallen by nature. And Satan plays on that. He still attempts to make everything about you. Oh, yeah. God help me. Amen. Oh, you're just an old sinner. Yeah. Has anybody ever heard anything like that? Oh, you'll never make it. You might as well quit trying. Oh, you're too bound to be free. Yeah. You're too dirty to be clean. You're in trouble with God because of what you've been doing. You can't be free from the clutches of hell and addiction. And no, you ain't like those people. You'll never be what those people are. Amen. It's everything's about you. What you can't do. What you can't be. And what it's trying to create inside of you is a hopelessness. Amen. Oh, God, help me right now. Well, God doesn't love me because, fill in the blank. Well, God would never save me because, you fill in the blank. Amen. Because why? Because you're fallen by nature? You were born in sin and shaping in iniquity? Is that your fault? Did you eat the fruit in the garden? No, you didn't eat the fruit in the garden. And so you had no choice but to be born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Amen. And then you never even made a choice to be a sinner. You were born a sinner. And Satan brings condemnation against you like you're some terrible creation that can never attain the holiness and the righteousness of God. Well, maybe maybe we just need to put it in simple terms. The devil is a liar. Amen. We've not even got close to the good part. We've been 20 minutes in, okay? We're 20 minutes in. I'm watching the clock, I promise. Amen. And when Satan used cunning, and when Satan used craftiness, and when he used subtlety, and Satan withheld information from me, he knew what was going to happen when she took that fruit. And he withheld just enough information to cause her to fall. Amen. I'm going to tell you the day that happened. It's not recorded in your Bible. And maybe, I know the Bible says that my thoughts are not your thoughts. I get it. But I'm going to tell you what God said the day that happened. He looked at Satan and he said, two can play that game. I know you've heard it said, and you may have said it yourself. When somebody does you wrong, or they stab you in the back, or they say something sideways, you say, oh, two can play that game.
That's right.
I'm telling you, there's something inside of God. I'm going to give you a scripture for it. There's something inside of God that when Satan took advantage of humanity, God said, two can play that game. Amen. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He had one purpose. I'm telling you, we're going to go somewhere in the Holy Ghost tonight. But you need to understand, everything that Satan did to humanity in the garden, God said, I'm going to undo it in a garden. Yeah. Amen. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The reason this is so important is because I told you in the very beginning there was war in heaven. It was God against Satan. Amen. And when Satan couldn't win in heaven, he came down to earth and took advantage of a newborn baby, if I can say it like that. Amen. And so God said, I can do that too. Yeah, two can play that game. So God robed himself in flesh. He didn't send a second person to do his business. Amen. And so God with us is born, Jesus Christ. Now, the wise men come, they see a star, they come, they see Herod, and Herod uses these wise men to try to kill Jesus. Amen. The devil already knows the plan is in effect. Now, you need to understand some things. The devil knew who Jesus was, but he didn't know what all he was going to do. Amen. The demon said, we know thee, who thou art. Amen. They knew who he was, but they didn't know what he'd come to do. Oh, God, help us right now. Amen. When the wise men were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When God robed himself in flesh, Satan got the hint, we better go ahead and destroy him before he gets to doing what he's going to do. Then Herod, because the wise men didn't go tell him, he said, come back and tell me when you find him. Well, God showed them a dream. Don't go back to him and tell him. Yeah. So they go the other way. Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. He killed every child under 2 years old that was in Bethlehem. Why? Because he was trying to destroy the plan. God, help us right now. Amen. And so we know the child grows. Obviously, Herod didn't get him. John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness, preparing the way for Jesus to come. The Bible says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me? Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then, now this is important, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, capital S, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Herod tried to kill him as a child. The devil tried to get him to fall in the wilderness. Amen. But Luke chapter 4, verse 13 says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Everybody say he departed from him. Amen. Let's say that again. He departed from him. Okay, this is important. Because we're going to put this together from the Gospels. Jesus was baptized. He's driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. He's tempted. He fasts 40 days, 40 nights. He overcomes the temptation by the Word of God. And he succeeds. And when the devil finishes tempting him in the wilderness, the devil departs for a season. Okay. Oh, God, help me to preach this right now. So from the time Jesus came out of the wilderness, you got to know this. The devil was not around him. There's a reason this is important. We're going places. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Okay, so chronologically, Jesus is baptized. He's driven into the wilderness 40 days. He overcomes temptation. The devil has to leave him, and then he starts picking disciples. Okay? The reason we have to go there is because we're going to the book of John. And John 1:35 is where Jesus starts to pick disciples in the book of John. So from John chapter 1, verse 35, Jesus is picking disciples, which in chronological order tells us that Satan is departed from him. Okay? Now, why is this so important? Because we're going to go through the book of John, and I'm going to tell you some things that Jesus said while Satan was not around him. Okay? Okay. Remember, Satan is absent. John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in the building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. So he told the people there, you destroy this body, she said it in terms of temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. But remember, Satan didn't hear him say it. Oh, we're going somewhere. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He told Nicodemus that. But you got to remember, Satan didn't hear it. I'm telling you, we're going somewhere. John 5:21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Yeah. Jesus said, I have the power to resurrect, but Satan didn't hear it. John 5:25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. I've got my own life inside of me, but Satan didn't hear it. John 8:28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am. Now they put the word he in there, but it's italicized. That means the Greek don't support that word. They added it for what they thought would be clarity. But I just wonder if Jesus was saying, you need to understand, when they put me on the cross, they're going to figure out it wasn't just a man. It was the God that appeared in the Old Testament. All right. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen. I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. I can lay it down. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This is the commandment that I received of my Father. He said, I can die and I can resurrect myself, but the devil didn't hear it. Hallelujah. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But you got to remember, the devil didn't hear it. Oh, Jesus. John 12:23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. God, help me right now. But the devil didn't hear it. Remember, the devil, he's gone. Oh, God. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus said, I know I'm about to have to die. And it's going to hurt. What do I say? God, deliver me. This is why I'm here. But the devil didn't hear it. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's Satan. But the devil didn't hear it. Amen. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. But the devil didn't hear it. Amen. God, help me right now to preach this word. John chapter 14. We're 30 verses away. Amen. From the end of the story. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But the devil didn't hear it. Amen. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But the devil didn't hear it. Amen. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. I've got a page of notes left. Amen. We've gone through 13 pages already. It's a bunch of reading. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. How do you know him? For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live. I'm telling you, Jesus is standing in John 14, and he's already passed the cross of Calvary. He's passed the tomb. He's passed the resurrection. And he's saying, you know me because I live. But the devil didn't hear it. God. Amen. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And then John 14 and 30. This is going to start to tie everything back together. Jesus tells his disciples, hereafter I will not talk much with you. Now, Jesus, why aren't you going to talk to us? Why aren't you going to talk to us very much after this? For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Now, remember, when he came out of the wilderness, the devil had to depart. And he does all this teaching about his plan. And then he said, but here in a little while, I ain't going to talk very much because the prince of the world is coming. And if I can say it like we would say it today, I ain't giving him nothing. I'm telling you, I could run the aisles for myself. Amen. Amen. God help us. Jesus is intentionally withholding information from the devil. Why? Because he's devising means to bring his banished back home. You got to understand, God has been planning for a long time. He's been planning for a long time how to restore humanity back to right relationship with his Spirit. But he understands. He understands. There's some things that I'm going to have to keep from saying. Just like he withheld information from Eve in the garden, I'm going to keep some things from him while I'm on the earth. Why? Because I need him to play into my hand. Two can play that game. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Did you know that if Jesus had never hung on that cross, we couldn't sing about the blood? You couldn't be buried in his name? You couldn't be filled with his spirit? Amen. Okay, 5 more minutes. I need you to get with me, okay? All right. Jesus had to have somebody to kill it. Jesus couldn't kill himself. And so everything that Satan did to Eve in the garden, Jesus said, I'm going to do to you now. Amen. Just think about this. Think about this. Satan, the serpent, uses a hanging fruit from a created tree to cause woman to fall. God uses the fruit of the woman hanging from a tree in a garden to cause Satan to fall. Two can play that game. Amen. The Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way by nailing it to his cross. Amen. You know, on Friday, when they took that body to the tomb, I bet hell was rejoicing, thinking that they had just won. Amen. This is Resurrection Sunday. When they took that body to the tomb, they thought they had triumphed over the manifestation of God on the earth. But what they didn't know is he had played them like a fiddle. How do I know this? Because the Bible tells us, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. God, help me right now. Amen. You remember that premise that we were on about the pure and the pure and the merciful and the merciful and the upright and the upright and the froward and the froward? Yep. Amen. The God that is love, when he defeated hell, having spoiled principalities and powers. God, help us right now. Amen. He didn't do it in a corner in the dark. He didn't do it courteously. He spoiled them. The Bible says he made a show of them openly. Well, I thought somebody would get with me on Resurrection Sunday night. Amen. You got, can I put it into your terms today? He didn't just beat them. He beat them and then he posted it on his social media. He made a show of it openly. He didn't just, oh, well, say not. No, say your kingdom's coming down and I'm showing it to everybody. He didn't just expose them. He stood over them and trash talked about it. He triumphed over them in it. God, help us. Amen. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. God said, I got secrets. I got secrets. And it's going to be glorious. Amen. Well, what do you mean? Which none, everybody say none. None of the princes of this world knew. You talk about two playing at the game. He He said, you want to withhold some information to get my pinnacle creation to fall? I'll withhold some information to get you to play straight into my hand, and I'll restore them. None of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not. Everybody say, they would not. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. Amen. Let's go 5 minutes. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Amen. If they had known what was going to happen on Sunday morning, they never, ever, ever, ever would have gone through with Friday night. Amen. And it's all good to preaching about Jesus. Amen. But I've been praying about this for days. And I'm not just going to preach it about Jesus. Let's preach it about you today. Amen. Because God devises means to bring his banished home. Amen. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm telling you, I don't care how messed up you are right now. I don't care how far you are from God right now. I don't care how bound or how addicted you are right now. If Satan could figure out a way to get you to fall, God can figure out a way to get you back up. I'm telling you, I know people don't like to talk about it, but I felt it in the Holy Ghost when I was praying. If Satan can figure out a way to get you bound by pornography, God can figure out a way to get you free from it. You got to understand, two can play in that game. Sister Alicia, why don't you come to the piano? Amen. God, help me right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, I don't care how tangled up you are. I don't care what the mess is in your life. Amen. I've been praying, and the Lord's been dealing with me. You got to understand, it's not about you. That's what the devil wants you to think. He wants you to think that you're a failure, and you're messed up, and you're just trash, and you just might as well not even try. The devil is a liar. Come on, I need somebody to help me right now. Amen. The Holy Ghost is one to minister to some people in this house right now. I'm trying to build your faith right now. Amen. God has been scheming a way to get you free, to get you happy, to get you refreshed. I don't care what the devil's done to you. God can fix it. Come on, help me pray right now. Come on, I don't care how far sin and how far Satan has carried you. God sent me here tonight to tell you, he can make a way for you to get out of it. I don't care how cunning the devil was. I don't care how crafty he was. You may be broke. You may not know how you're going to get out of it. You may feel like the devil has, he's crunched you up and thrown you in a trash can. If the devil can figure out how to break it, God can figure out how to fix it. There's nothing, there is nothing that hell would like better than for you to come into this service, hear this word, patty cake for Jesus, and walk out the exact same way you came. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here. I don't care what you need. If you want it tonight, you can get it. If you want deliverance, you can get it. If you want breakthrough, you can get it. If you want liberty, you can get it. God can make a way. Come on, I need somebody to pray right now. I need somebody to pray right now. You to get a breakthrough.